Yes, Lord. We just welcome your holiness, Jesus. We have no fear of receiving holiness, God. We just receive your holiness in this moment, Lord. We thank you for your fire, God. We thank you for your consuming fire. We ask, Lord, you come now and that you would break the mindset that I've got to have something solid, something concrete. As we've been moving in this realm, I just feel the Lord say that he wants to give you gold and take away your concrete. He just wants to give you gold and take away your concrete. Whatever's been solid, whatever's been a safe base, whatever's been strong, the Lord's not going to give it, to take it away and give you gold. Give you gold. And Jesus says to us, if you will buy gold refined in the fire. Oh Lord, we ask for the refiner's fire. Oh, that we would have no impurities, Lord. And you would release purity, God, and holiness. The mindset of having that concrete is going to be the greatest thing I get, Lord. Just thank you for breaking that over this room right now. Over this region right now, Lord. Over this nation, God. We receive the gold of heaven. We receive it not because we deserve it, but because you want us to have it. We just receive it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Good worship, hey. We're just going to take up communion. Just if you want to quickly make your way over there, there's some bread and crackers and some juice. If you want to join in with us, we're going to take communion and just quickly go over, grab an emblem, and then come back, and then we're just going to take it together. Up like that, don't you?
That was good worship.
such good worship.
Oh no. Yeah. 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 Gave me two things to do with communion that I really felt the Lord wanted to say. And in the Bible, it talks about the woman with the issue of blood, and it was fascinating. It came up in worship, but just how that with the she had this bleeding, and she had exhausted all her means, and she was just being depleted of life. And man, I don't know about you, but some weeks you can get really depleted of life. All it takes is a moment and the enemy can rob it, and things, you know, whatever you're doing, if you're building a house or you're trying to stay in a job or you're trying to look after your husband or your wife, and in a moment the enemy can just rob that moment and it can deplete your life. And with this woman with issue of blood, what she decided to do was to push through the crowd to just touch Jesus. And I believe communion is one of those powerful things that can make you clean again. It can make you whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I mean, nothing but the blood can make you whole. Nothing but the blood can give you the happiness that you need. Nothing but the blood can redeem your whole life. And when she got her life back, oh, that must have been a moment when Jesus' life flowed through. Yeah. And he did, you remember, she touched the hem of his garment, yeah, not his physical body, but he felt it, power, yeah, go out. Yeah. And there's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Whenever we take communion, we actually touch him. And whatever it is that's going on in your life at the moment, whether you might have financial bills that are over your head, whether you've got family members that are doing your head in, whether it's you're doing your own head in half the time, the cat or the dog or the neighbours or someone cut you off on the way to church, whatever it is. But there's nothing but the blood of Jesus can make you whole. Nothing but the blood. And when I want to encourage you, we're taking communion today to declare over our lives, there's nothing but the blood can make me whole.
Amen.
Nothing but the blood that Jesus can redeem and restore and give me a future, can give me a hope, that can get me through a bad day, that can turn around your whole year. I mean, taking communion was meant to happen when we come together to remember there's nothing but the blood. It can make me whole again. I mean, so many people are trying to find wholeness in every other thing, but the world just sells you a lie. Only Jesus can give you wholeness.
Amen.
No amount of counseling is really going to get you there. It can be good, but nothing but the blood. And the reason we take communion together is to declare nothing but the blood of Jesus can make us whole. He can put the step back in your feet again. He can give you a smile. He can give you joy when you're feeling like all your joy is gone. And I love that story because she pushed through the crowd, and whatever that thing presses on your life at the moment, I want to declare over you that as you take communion today, that the blood of Jesus will do something that man cannot do, that no system of this world can do. But the blood of Jesus will release something over your life, and you'll see miracles this week. You'll see it probably within 24 hours. So, Father, as we take communion today to declare the resurrection power found in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross and he rose again, and he shed his blood that we could be whole. He shed his blood that every demon in hell has to let loose of our life. Every condition has to let loose of our life. That we can get our life back. We can get a future. We can get a hope. We can get the Savior's presence all over us.
that Jesus, you can redeem us. Lord, I declare that as we take in remembrance of you, that Jesus, there would become miracles in everyone's lives, that we would experience the presence and the power of the resurrected Christ, that he's not dead. This is the emblems to remind us he's not dead. These emblems are to remind us he's not dead. He's paid the price. Don't live with that. Don't live with the condition. Speak to it. Declare the blood makes it whole. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's take it together.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Nothing. We used to sing a song years ago, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus.
Remember that?
That song.
It's been around long enough.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus can make us whole again.
I think a lot of us have got too scared by the blood of Jesus to say it. But I mean, when you say it, it speaks to the heavenlies, doesn't it? Whenever you take communion, always remember you're declaring the blood of Jesus declares me free. Step aside, demons, I'm coming forth. Amen. We're going to take up an offering. Just want you to just feel no pressure at all, but if you want to sow into the kingdom of God, we just want to see the kingdom of God advance. And this is about you and God. This is about giving him something to say, hey, you're just number one in my life. Feel free to be a part of that. Sow something into the kingdom of God. You'll get blessed 100-fold. Offerings, I want to encourage you. One thing that the Lord put on my heart is offerings take you into the supernatural realm of provision. It's not that we strive to do it, but as we sow into the kingdom, something happens over our whole atmosphere. In the Old Testament, it talked about, Malachi, it talks about that test me and see that the windows of heaven won't be open. Those windows didn't shift when Jesus came. The windows of heaven, the heavenly realm, still open and shut. And by what we do, releases those heavenly realms. And I want to encourage you, keep sowing for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't let the devil get you. And don't allow the system of this world to get you with your finance. But live for Jesus also with your finance. And watch the blessings roll in. Amen. So you can pass that around, Zach. How exciting, we're in the Highlands tomorrow morning. If you feel like you want to drive up to Mossvale, we have a service up there at 10 o'clock. And it's in the CWA Hall. Basically, just go to the police station and it's right opposite the police station. If you don't know, stop a policeman or go over to a copper and say, I want to find the police station in Mossvale, and I'm sure they'll show you how to get there. And but yeah, we're there at 10 o'clock. And it's just going to be an awesome time. Man, the presence of God was so cranking the other week. It was off the charts. And it was our first service. And the changed life that you're going to hear their story about is just phenomenal. Jesus is doing something up there. So I encourage you, if you want to come up and be a part, feel free to drive up there. There's lots of great restaurants, a barrel. There's lots of great food up there. So you can have a meal afterwards and enjoy the wonderful Highlands. But we're about to get Adam up to share. How exciting. Adam's
on, Adam.
Made his way down from the bush up there, the extra bush and the mountains and the three sisters. So they're from the Blue Mountains. They run a great church if you're ever up that way. It's called Sanctuary. It runs every second week. But it's a great church up in the Blue Mountains. And we love ministering up there. And if you're ever up there on a holiday, make sure you go check these guys' church out. It's a great church. They love the Lord. And we have a great time every time we go there. They're a great bunch, I tell you. And they really put on a smorgasbord afterwards and have a really good time. But I'm going to get Adam up and just flow in whatever the Lord's put on his heart.
I'm going to get pulled over on the way home. This is not going to be. This is going to be good. Let's just stand up and lay down. One to two. Holy Spirit, we're here. We've come here not to do anything but to behold your beauty, Jesus. And so we take off ourselves, everything of ourself now, and we lay it at the cross. And we pick up what you have for us tonight. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would empower us with everything that we need. Even the things that we're not asking for that you want to sow into us, we receive it by faith now. In Jesus' name. Jesus, I ask for my brothers and my sisters here that you would give them the ability to hear the prayers that you are praying for them to the Father. It says the Lord Jesus Christ is interceding for you right now. So Jesus, release the prayers you are praying for your sons and daughters. Release it to their ears. They may join with you with the prayers that you are praying to the Father for them.
Yeah, man, come on.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we want nothing else, Lord, but to behold you tonight.
Yes, Lord, that's right.
To be overwhelmed and filled again. We know that Paul the Apostle was endowed with the Spirit so many times. He wasn't looking for a one-time baptism. He was looking for a lifetime baptism.
Amen. Yeah.
He was looking for a lifetime of encounters with you, Jesus.
Yeah.
And so, Father, we just thank you tonight. We're unsure where we are headed, except for the fact we're going to end up with you somewhere. And we have the faith tonight in you to say, Lord, whatever it takes, and whatever way you want to do it, do it.
Amen.
And I thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing with the true church. You are sending a body of people into unknown territory. You are sending them into realms unseen and places unknown. And so, Father, I ask you to release breakthrough over every man, every woman, every child in this room, in this region tonight, over this nation tonight, where others, Lord, are lifting up their heads to sin. We pray, Father, your outrageous love, your loving kindness, and your mercy, God, would pour into homes.
Yes.
Pour into hearts tonight, Lord. And release sons and daughters into your kingdom. And so, Father, we welcome you in this place. We say, Jesus, you are the centerpiece. You are the pinnacle. You are everything to us, Lord. And we just wait in your presence. We just wait in your presence, Lord. And we just thank you for being you. We thank you that the Father allowed you to die an earthly death so we could inherit eternal life. And we thank you, Jesus, that you said it was better that I go because the one I'm going to send is going to be heaps better. What could be better than you, Jesus? But your Spirit in this earth, in your people, right now. We thank you, Father, for every man and woman who has prayed for the move of God that is happening right now. We thank you for those who never saw, they sowed in tears, and now we reap in joy what they sowed for. So we honor the saints. We honor the saints of old who have prayed for this very thing that's happening right now. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for those old men and women in the Welsh Highlands right now who are praying, come Holy Spirit, across the whole earth. We thank you for those young men in Africa who are praying, come Holy Spirit. For those people, Lord, in the city of Auckland who are saying, come Holy Spirit. We join with them, Lord, as it says in Revelation 22, that the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Thank you, Lord.
Come on.
I pray for you tonight. I pray that you would receive the gift of waiting.
Yes.
The gift of waiting upon him. And I pray that you would be all delivered from the gift of boredom. That his presence everywhere. Whether you're walking beside a stream.
That's right. Come on.
Whether you're working at a work site. Wherever you are, that his presence would invade.
Yes.
that we'd wait upon the next, and these presence would invade. And they'd wait again, these presence would invade again. And so we just welcome you tonight, Jesus, and we honor you. We say you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We say that they may raise their head in this nation and say, you are not alive. But we say you are alive. We say that you are King. And we say that you are coming again. So we thank you tonight, Lord. We thank you tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You can remain sitting or standing or laying down. Thank you, Jesus. If you haven't seen me preach before, then that's okay. Sometimes I preach with my eyes closed. That's all right. It's not really about anything to do with me anyway. Amen. You know, I was in the worship, I was like, this is so good, because it says in the Bible what was happening. If you go to the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 3, it says this, verse 5, and I sat there overwhelmed among them for 7 days. You know, there's a thing coming to the body of Christ in our nation where people are going to start to linger longer in his presence. We had a really awkward time last Sunday, in the best possible sense, where no one wanted to go home after 4 hours of church. It was very bizarre. It was very bizarre. Yeah, nothing to do with us. We were just hanging out with Jesus. And I was trying to close the meeting, but I really couldn't. I was like, well, this is a bit awkward. I said, this is a bit awkward, isn't it? I've been to churches where I want to get out of there. You've been to some of them? Or you just get warmed up, then it finishes. You're like, oh, I'll just give my spiritual muscles a warm up, and now I'm ready to go. Oh, we're already done. Okay. But I felt the Lord say a few weeks ago to us that there's an old Michael Bublé song. Actually, I don't even know if you've sang it, but I can't sing, so I don't even think about it. But it says this. It says that it's starting to feel a lot like Christmas. Presence everywhere. And the Lord Jesus sang it to me just after in January, and he said this. It's starting to feel a lot like Wales. Repentance everywhere. And I said to the Lord, what do you mean? And he said, listen, what in the Welsh Revival, when it broke out, it only finished because man finished it. No move of God has ever supposed to be finished.
Yes.
But men and women, we don't know how to steward it well. And at the end of it, it goes off into some weird thing. But the Lord said that what he's doing, he's not going to give us that, but he's going to give us the essence of what happened, which is the move of the Spirit without precedence. Evan Roberts, who was preaching that Welsh Revival and one of the carriers of that, he would say this, that he would be asked to go to meetings, and he would go in the meeting through the back door so no one knew it was him. And they would find him after 3 hours, they'd find him in the corner of the room. And they'd say, are you going to say something? And he said, what do I have to say? He's already here. And I feel that's happening in our midst. It's not going to matter who's speaking or who's worshipping or what's happening, because the presence of God is going to apprehend people and we're going to not compete anymore.
Come on.
The body of Christ is going to stop competing.
That's
a good thing.
Yes. Come on, bring that on.
And instead of talking about how many people we've got or marking ourselves on a man's mark, we're going to start to behold his beauty, and whatever takes place, our eyes are going to be fixed on him.
Come on. Yes.
The body of Christ is coming into a revelation of looking straight ahead, not left and right.
That's right.
That's good.
You know how deep you can go if you just look straight ahead? Oh, but Mr. Smith over here has got... Oh, but she's got... Oh. I think what's happening is God's releasing no buts in the church.
That's right.
Releasing no buts in the church. But we'll just fix our eyes on Christ and go where he wants us to go.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, a few things are happening in the spirit, aren't they?
Yeah.
I like it when you don't want to leave church. It's so good. It's so good when you leave church and you go home and church is there.
Yeah. Oh.
And then you wake up and you drive into work and he's there. Yeah. And if you're like me, you sneak into the bathroom at work to pray. Because there's cameras everywhere, and it's going to be a little bit weird if I'm praying in front of the camera, right? With all the kids. So I sneak into the bathroom. So good. They're thinking, he's got some issues. He's been in that bathroom 4 times today. Oh, I mean, you know, I love it. because it's there's no windows, it's just a room with a locked door. Come, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Come and change this nation right now.
Yes.
Come and touch hearts that are not on fire with your fire, God.
Yes.
You know, it's really special, hey? I get to live with this worshiper. That's so good. You know, every night I'm like, just laying in bed, Cass just worshiping. I'm just like, this is so good.
Yeah,
I don't need YouTube. I just got this gift of God, right? And Rookie was singing out something about the river of God. And this morning, Kath and I built this prayer house at our house, separate from the house, that we're going to pray in. We like already are, but been painting it. And this morning, the Lord saying to me, I'm going to pour out my river. And he said, I want you to swim in the river. I want you to dance in the river.
Yeah.
I want you to do whatever you want, but be in my river. And I want to take us, I've got a few things tonight, but I got sidetracked with the Holy Ghost. Is that okay? Oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
I was about to say, where am I? Let's go to Psalm 42. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We just thank you, Jesus. How good are we? We just put chairs up for stuff. It's so good. Just improvise. I wasn't sure if I was going to get up the floor before. I might sit down in a minute. Psalm 42 says this, as the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. While they'll say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. And I want to talk to you about a deer and the river. And a deer has a very, very, very strong scent. And so if you are a wolf or you are a predator in the natural and you want to find a deer, you use your nose because it's got a strong scent. But one thing happens when a deer goes into water, it loses its scent. And what the Father is saying in this psalm is he wants sons and daughters. Because all of us, sometime in our life, we've felt like we were really tough, yeah? Well, I can get through that. And then we realise that we can do nothing outside of Christ.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
Some of us, like me, takes it a little bit longer. You're not brought up in a Christian home, those type of things. And you are going about your life just because you want it to be your life, and then you meet the man, Jesus. That's going to change your life.
Yeah, come on.
And the Father's saying to us, listen, I want you to run into the river of God like the deer pants for the water. It pants for the water because when it goes in there, the enemy can't sense it anymore. And I guarantee you that the presence of God will keep you safe. Yeah. A lot of people said like, oh, but no, this will keep me safe, this will keep me safe, this will keep me safe. But I guarantee you the presence of God is the safest thing you can have.
Yeah.
It is the safest thing that we can have is the presence of Almighty God. When the presence of God comes and interrupts you, isn't that so good? I think the word of God declares boldly that man makes a plan and then God does what he wants.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on.
And if you are following the Holy Ghost on this relationship with Jesus, you are going to have divine interruptions all the time. Divine interruptions. This morning I'm trying to paint this wall. I enjoy paint, it's alright, painting's okay. But every time I try to, this the presence of God is falling. And I'm thinking, if I get on that ladder again. So I just ended up sitting down and being humbled that I couldn't finish what I started today. But that's okay. Because isn't our response supposed to be to his presence more than anything else? Response to his presence, amen. Response to his presence. In the worship, I said to Melody, what's the Lord showing you? She said, the Lord showed me a piece of cake being taken out of the cake and put on a plate, and there was three layers, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, we have a saying in Australia, eat your dessert first. Ever heard that?
Yeah.
Eat your dessert first. When you encounter the presence of God, all you want to do is feast on him.
That's right.
All you want to do is feast on him. I remember when I encountered the presence of God. Can you remember the passion you had when his presence fell?
Yeah.
I pray for us tonight that we would have an encounter with the same passion. the same passion. And the Holy Spirit will come upon us again tonight, and the passion of Jesus would fill us. The passion of Jesus would fill us. Zach spoke about in his prayer at the beginning that we haven't come, in Hebrews chapter 12, that we haven't come to a mountain that is on fire anymore, but we've come to a living mountain. A living Jerusalem. Amen? A living Jerusalem. Oh, we're going to have some fun tonight. So good. Just get in the river. Amen. If you can't swim, it's okay because you can't drown. That's God's presence. I had to try and explain to a guy. He said, listen, I can't swim. I said, no, no, it's not top of the river. Like it's a river where you can't drown. It's probably better if you do go under for a bit, amen. Just get filled with God. That's what I love about it. All right. Barry mentioned in communion about the woman with the issue of blood. How many years? 12 years, an issue of blood that was non-stop. Who'd she spend all the money on?
Doctors,
physicians. Are they good people? 100%. But they couldn't cure what was a spiritual problem.
That's right.
They couldn't cure the spiritual problem. And interestingly enough, that woman, if you know about what would happen to her, she would have been permanently positioned outside of the camp. Because of the rules of engagement in her life at that time. Which meant that if she was having that thing happen to her all the time, she would have had to live outside the camp. Because God's asking people, is Jesus enough? Imagine the woman that morning, she got up and she would have known that if they caught her on the way in, if they apprehended her, if they arrested her, then her punishment would be to be stoned, right? Yes. Imagine the faith she had to go into the city.
That's right, come on.
But I tell you what happens when you get a revelation of Him.
Yes.
And when you understand what His purpose is, you'll go past every enemy with the faith and the fire to receive what you need from Him. And she receives incredible healing. And then He says a weird thing. He goes, who touched me? His disciples, they're a little bit thick, like, you know. And they're like, everyone's touching you, Jesus. And she comes forward, doesn't she?
Yeah, that's right.
And He says to her, what? Does He say to her to be quiet or to declare this?
Yeah.
He gets her to declare what had happened to her.
That's right.
There's a power in declaration. Kathy did something last Sunday where she got a lady in our church, it's like Jehovah's Sniper. That was a joke. Right? Where, like, God just sets things on people and you start to see things released. And so at the start of our service, this lady in our family has this ability to decree things and see them happen.
Yes.
And so Kathy invites her up, and before anything happened in the meeting, she starts decreeing. And that's what this woman did. If you look in the word, if you go to the original Aramaic and the original Hebrew of the word, it says this, that this woman who had just been healed from 12 years of misery started to decree the promises of God. We need to start and to bring back.
Yeah.
See, what's happening in the body of Christ right now is that He is reclaiming all things to Himself.
Yeah.
He's reclaiming prosperity.
Yeah.
He's reclaiming healing.
Yeah.
He's reclaiming prophecy, not to be pathetic, but to be prophetic.
Yeah.
Right? He's reclaiming all things because He's not coming to a bride with all this stuff on her.
Yeah.
He's coming to a bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish.
Yeah.
That's what the Word of God says, amen? And our assignment in the earth today is to join Jesus on the reclamation tour. Just to join Jesus on the reclamation tour. That we would see reclamation come back. And so we would see a right teaching in the area of grace. We would see a right teaching in the area of mercy. We would see a right teaching in the area of salvation. We would see a right teaching. And that's what the Lord is doing in companies like this all across our nation right now. He is restoring. He's reclaiming what is rightfully His.
That's right.
We don't want fanfare.
That's right.
How good's John the Baptist, right? So for 30 years, it says he was burning in the desert for a 6-month public ministry, and then he gets his head cut off. 6 months public ministry. But he had a 30-year preparation in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And it says that 1.5 million people, that's the conservative theologians,
Always go to them for the number stuff. Because then Pentecostal, they whoop. Just joking. Amen. <number stuff. laughs> Hey, people call me Pentecostal, I'll take it. I'll take anything. You want to call me Presbyterian? Amen. I'll take whatever. I don't mind. Call me whatever you want. But John the Baptist has 1.5 million people go out to him without any Facebook, no campaign manager, no marketing scheme. They went out to see what? A man burning. A man burning. A burning man who would spend 30 years in preparation for a 6-month public ministry.
Yeah.
Think about the power that was coming out of this man. And Jesus says, in the days before he returned to the earth, that the church is going to be like John. They're going to be a forerunner. They're going to be ones who are burning for the Lord, proclaiming salvation is in one name.
Yeah.
Salvation being in one name alone. But think about what John had to not endure. John's father, who was silenced, correct? Who couldn't say anything, Zechariah, who couldn't say anything until John was born. John would have been seated to inherit the priesthood line. See this. He would have been seated to receive all the things that came with being the lead priest. As the son of the lead priest, you inherit that. That's what your role is. And so John is called by God to forfeit the law, but not to go against the law. To be an example of one who is burning and shining. Didn't Jesus say, listen, is it a burning and shining lamp? What do people say about the church in today's society? Not much, eh? Well, what if they said this? Oh, that's a burning and shining lamp. When I encounter those people, mercy dripped onto me. When I encounter that Christian, they didn't hate me, but the power of God transformed me.
That's
right. All we need to do for that is go to our manual, which is not Raw Faith Manual 1.0. It's called the Book of Acts. The Book of Acts, amen? The Book of Acts. I pray for us tonight that the power of the Holy Spirit will continue to transform us from the inside out.
Yes.
From the inside out, Lord.
Thank you.
That we would be like John, a burning and shining witness for you.
Yes.
A burning and shining witness for you.
Yes.
And we thank you, Jesus, for John. But the Bible says that the least in the kingdom is greater than John.
Come on.
What an honor, Lord. What an honor that you bestowed upon your sons and daughters that were living after John. And so, Father, we just thank you for teaching us in your spirit what is happening in these days.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
We can look at the role of Stephen. What a powerful man.
Wow.
What a powerful man of God that the apostles, they got so busy serving people, they had to appoint 7 others. And so one of these men is named Stephen. And it says that he was what? He was an astute man. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was a man of faith. And he gets to preach once. And then they stone him. Have you read his message? It says this, is that his message carried so much holiness and so much purity that they put their thumbs in their ears and shouted at the top of their lungs and charged at him together. That's called power preaching. Not at 3 a.m. on TV. Right? There's power preaching. There's power preaching coming. But it's not going to be just people who are the people at the front. Power preaching is coming through the way you love people.
That's exactly.
Power preaching is coming through the way that you are kind to people.
Yeah.
I picked up my bins today.
Thank you, Jesus.
I love bin night. You should get into bin night. I'm not being funny. Like bin night ministry. Pray over people's bins. They have to touch them. You think I'm... No, I see. You see, where we live, there's some people that don't really like Jesus. But what you do is you pray over their... Oh, come on, Holy Spirit. Fill this bin with glory. When they open it, they be baptized. I'm not joking. And you lay your hands on the bin handle and you say, come on, Holy Spirit.
when this person comes and touches this bin and carries it inside, I pray they carry you with them. That you will go into their house, and as Kath prophesied, you would go into every room of their house, Lord, and you would invade their hearts in Jesus' name. See, he's calling his body to start to be bold again, but to start to be ridiculous in their prayers. Let's ask the Holy Spirit tonight to rid us of really small prayers.
Yeah.
And start to pray things that are so impossible that if he doesn't do it, it won't happen.
Yeah.
The Bible says that a nation can be saved in a day.
Wow.
What about tonight in Sydney?
Yeah.
The Spirit of God flows in.
Yes.
And people who are doing that stuff would be completely transformed in a moment. Because his name is Jesus and he is King. The body of Christ is starting to recognize around this nation that we don't have to get people ready to get to Jesus. He's so hungry for souls. He's so hungry for sons and daughters. He's devastatingly hungry. He is so enamored with his sons and daughters coming home that he's going to do any means possible to bring them home. Most people aren't looking for Jesus, but he's looking for them. When I got saved, a certain number of Christians said that I was a heretic. I didn't even know that was. I thought it was some like cool thing. I said to people, I'm a heretic. They said, what? What? And then Cass like, well, it's a bit strange. Right. But what had happened was, is I got saved without looking for Jesus. Like, I wasn't going around knocking on doors going, can I please see Jesus? I was doing the rotten thing and the wrong thing, and he came.
Amen.
Because everyone under the sun, that says, can have an experience with God. And I believe more than that there was some lady and man praying some 100 years ago for my salvation. And I want you to sow into the ground prayers for people you will never see until glory.
Yeah.
Come on. You see, we get so excited in the charismatic church, right? We get excited about miracles. We get excited about the power of God. You know what I'm excited about? Generational legacy. That when I'm prophesying, that when I'm praying, that when I go to glory, my daughter's granddaughter's granddaughter is going to receive a power encounter with God.
Hallelujah.
You see, when we receive prophetic words, that's the Lord. When we receive prophetic words, don't just take them for yourself. In the Bible, prophecy was used for generational breakthrough. Look at this. Abraham, I'm going to give you this. Did he see that? No. But is it happening now? Yes. David, I'm going to give you this. And what's going to happen at the age? The tabernacle will be restored.
Yeah.
You see, prophecy is not just a good feeling and oh wow, like I've got a good word, right? Prophecy is about changing the very culture that you live in and creating a new world so you can walk in.
That's right.
And I want to encourage us tonight that when the prophetic comes to us, even right now, we are walking around with God encountered me when I was 14. God encountered me when I was 21. Whatever it is for you, I pray that the Lord Jesus will do what he did with Timothy and Paul. And Paul did this. I pray for you, son Timothy, and I stir up the prophetic words that have been spoken over you so you can warfare, otherwise you will be shipwrecked. The Lord Jesus, he's reclaiming prophecy for himself. He's not reclaiming prophecy so someone can go, I am thus and so saith prophet. He is claiming it so sons and daughters can be locked into his kingdom.
Amen.
Oh, what do you mean locked into? I want people to be so locked into his kingdom that they can't get out.
Yeah.
That's right.
That they can't get out. They can't. You see, we need to have an exchange tonight with the Spirit of God. That we would just give up ourselves, including me, and that we would receive Jesus again. Oh, I'm so hungry for him and so full at the same time. Like you are hungry for God and full at the same time. Hungry for God. And I just pray right now in this meeting. I just stir up Holy Spirit, stir up all the prophetic words, the dreams, the visions that you've given your sons and daughters in this place. And I stir them up, Lord, and I ask you to send your holy fire upon them, Lord. Things that are dormant, bring it to life. Things that have been forgotten, bring to remembrance. Things that have been put down, pick them back up, says the Lord.